again we have the privilege and the pleasure of looking together into the Word of God to discover truth. And we have been going very slowly, very patiently through the book of Jeremiah. And what we have been reading in the book of Jeremiah has not been happy at all, not happy at all. We've learned, of course, that this is really a historical parable. It is a true fact of history, everything that we read that is happening here. And yet we cannot understand why it is in the Bible until we understand that it is pointing to the time in which we're living, the end of the church age, as God is bringing his wrath on the local congregations using Judah and earlier than that Israel as an illustration of the fact that even though they are God's special people, in time God does bring his wrath upon them if they do not remain faithful. Now we've been looking at Jeremiah 14 in verse 10. Thus saith the Lord unto this people, thus have they loved to wander. They have not refrained their feet. Therefore the Lord doth not accept them. That is, he will now remember their iniquity and visit their sins. In other words, there comes a time when God finally says, it is enough. It is enough. And now he is declaring, now is the time. The most important verse or word, or one of the very important words in this verse, in verse 10, is, therefore the Lord doth not accept them. He will now remember their iniquity and visit their sins. What we're reading in Jeremiah, the time has come. The time has come. And that's why here in our day, for example, there's no hope for the local congregations. Their work is finished, and Judgment Day, the Great Tribulation has begun, and so there are all kinds of local congregations. There are individual denominations who say, oh no, 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 that doesn't apply to us. Come on, we're still a real, viable, lovely congregation. We love the Lord, and they're not reading the Bible. They are just trusting in themselves. When they fast, I will not hear their cry. Let's see once what Jeremiah 14 verse 12 is saying. When they fast, I will not hear their cry. That is, as they are saying, well, now wait a minute. We're the church. We have been assigned the task of bringing the gospel to the world. Go ye into all the world with the gospel. We're the custodian, the caretaker of the Bible. And Lord, you need us to send the gospel out. That is, spiritually, to fast, to continue to send the gospel. And God says, I will not hear their cry. In other words, God has absented himself from the church. They can try to bring the gospel all they want, and nobody is going to become saved because the Holy Spirit is no longer there. Oh, this is dreadful. This is terrible. But this is what God is teaching, not only in this passage, but in so many passages of the Bible. Then it goes on, and when they offer burnt offering and an oblation, I will not accept them. When is the first time we saw this dreadful fact of offering that was not accepted? Way back in Genesis chapter 4. Remember that Cain brought an offering. No problem with the offering. It was a meal offering, which later on God said was acceptable to God, the offering itself. But God had no respect for that offering. How Cain knew this, we don't know, but Cain did know that. What was the problem? Was the problem with the offering? No, the problem was with the heart of Cain. Cain loved this world. His love was in the ground, in what this world could produce. His love was not in Christ or in God. His trust, his future, his longing, everything about his nature was in what he could do in this world, and God had no respect for his offering. And we see how Cain developed. The next thing, he murders his brother, and then he's cast out, and so on. And this is really what God is emphasizing here. When they offer burnt offering and an oblation, that is, as they are trying to conduct themselves in a God-pleasing way within their congregations, I will not accept them. It doesn't mean a thing. Doesn't mean a thing because their heart is not ready to be obedient to the Word of God. Their heart is to be obedient to their denomination, to their doctrines that they have been taught, to what they think is the truth. They're not broken before God, ready to listen only to the Word of God. And so he goes on in verse 12, but I will consume them by the sword, and by the famine, and by the pestilence. Now that three-word phrase, famine, sword, pestilence, is a formula that God uses again and again and again and again. For example, if you go to Ezekiel chapter 7, and this can be found repeatedly in many, many places, but we read in Ezekiel chapter 7, verse 15, and again it's talking about the same situation, God's wrath on the local congregations. The sword is without, this is Ezekiel 7:15, the pestilence and the famine within. He that is in the field shall die with the sword. He that is in the city, famine and pestilence shall devour them. But they that escape of them shall escape and shall be on the mountains like doves of the valleys and so on. God is simply emphasizing that these three will come upon them. Now, God uses this formula because the number three signifies what? God's purpose. It's God's purpose that destruction will come. Now, the idea of pestilence, we wonder, well, what does God mean by that? God gives us a very striking illustration of pestilence when we go to 2 Samuel chapter 24, 2 Samuel chapter 24. David, as well as Israel, has sinned against God. David, in his arrogance, has numbered the people when he should not have numbered them. And then we read in verse 10, and David's heart smote him. I'm reading 2 Samuel 24, verse 10. And David's heart smote him after that he had numbered the people and said unto the Lord, I have sinned greatly in that what I have done. And now I beseech thee, O Lord, take away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly. And then the prophet came to David and said in verse 12, go and say unto David, thus saith the Lord, I offer thee three things. Choose thee one of them that I may do it unto thee. So Gad came to David. Gad was the prophet, and told him and said unto him, shall 7 years of famine come unto thee in thy land? Or wilt thou flee 3 months before thine enemies while they pursue thee? Notice. We've got famine and the sword of their enemies. Notice the same trio. Or that there be 3 days pestilence in the land. Now advise and see what answer I shall return to him that sent me. And David put his trust in the Lord and said, well, I don't want to be under the sword of the enemy. I don't want the famine in the land. Whatever, Lord, whatever that pestilence is, send the pestilence. Well, hoping maybe that isn't so bad. Maybe that isn't so bad. All right, so verse 15. So the Lord send a pestilence upon Israel from the morning even to the time appointed, that is 3 days. And there died of the people from Dan, that was way to the south, or way to the north, to Beersheba, way to the south, 70,000 men. 70,000 men. Now that's a pestilence. 3 days' time, There is mourning in 70,000 homes because their men have died of this pestilence. When God talks about pestilence, and incidentally, the number 70,000 gives you the number of 7 times 10 or 7 times 1,000, complete, perfect completeness of God's wrath. In other words, it is a big word. Pestilence is a very big word when God says, I will send the sword, I will send famine. Now, we know that the famine has to do spiritually with, he has said, I will send you a famine of hearing the word of God. That is, the word of God will be there, but I will close your ears so that you don't understand what I am saying. And the sword, you know, we immediately think of the sword of the Spirit, of course. And it comes as the sword to save, but it is also the savior, the fragrance of death unto death. It also brings death. And so when God is saying here in Jeremiah 14, but I will consume them by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence. This is an enormous indictment, an enormously terrible thing that he's talking about. If we go, for example, to chapter 38, verse 2, Jeremiah 38, verse 2. We see that same formula used. We read where God is in the time that Judah was under the hammer blows of Nebuchadnezzar, under the wrath of God, and now God gives instruction. And this is instruction to the local congregations of our day, if you will. Thus saith the Lord, he that remaineth in this city, that is, he that remaineth in Jerusalem, thinking, oh no, this is Jerusalem. God will never let Nebuchadnezzar, that heathen king of Babylon, destroy Jerusalem. We have the temple. This is a local congregation where we have a divine mandate from God to represent the kingdom of God to this world. We are the caretaker of the Bible. God will never bring his wrath upon us. And yet here God is saying, he that remaineth in this city shall die. Look again. By the sword, by the famine, by the pestilence. But he that goeth forth to the Chaldeans, that is, are going into the world and leaving their local congregation, shall live, for he shall have his life for a prey and shall live. This, thus saith the Lord, this city shall surely be given into the hand of the king of Babylon's army, which shall take it. And that is the command that God has given the local congregations in our day. You stay there? Okay, stay there. But you're going to be destroyed. If you remain there by famine, there's going to be a famine of hearing the word of God, because the Holy Spirit is not here to apply that word to anybody's life. You're going to be under the famine. The sword. The sword will be the word of God will come to you as a judgment, not as a saving factor of any kind. And by pestilence, God is going to bring his death upon you. Because ultimately, remember the 70,000? What happened to them? They died. They were dead. In other words, it's spiritual death for the congregations. And here God is saying, if you don't go out, you're going to be under this terrible situation. And so this is what he's saying in verse 12. I will consume them by the sword and by the famine and by the pestilence. Incidentally, we might also read Jeremiah 27, which we're going to find ties in right with what's going to follow in Jeremiah 14. But in Jeremiah 27, verse 8, God repeats the same thing we just looked at in Jeremiah 38, giving a little more information. It shall come to pass that the nation and kingdom which will not serve the same Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, and that will not put their neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon, that nation will I punish. I could put it this way, the denomination, the local congregation, whoever it is, will not obey me and leave your trust in your local congregation, in the nation that you have been in, and go out into the world where you trust only me and serve out there in the world as an ambassador of Christ, because that is what our role is. When it says putting ourselves under the yoke of the Babylon, it is simply saying that we don't have spiritual overseers anymore. We're totally under the laws of the governments that are out there, and that's the way I'm going to continue getting my gospel out into the world in these closing years. That nation will I, if you refuse that, this is my plan now. Now, don't you try to be smarter than I am and say, oh, no, God, that's a dumb plan. That won't work. No, that doesn't fit our situation. No way. No way. We're not understanding this correctly. Yeah, we're understanding this correctly. Very, very correctly. But the whole question is, are we ready to obey? But he goes on. That nation will I punish, saith the Lord, with what? With the sword, with the famine, and with the pestilence, until I have consumed them by his hand. What a dreadful statement. Again, it's repeating that same formula of destruction, and until they are consumed, there'll be no one left. Therefore, hearken not ye to your prophets, nor to your diviners, nor to your dreamers, nor to your enchanters, nor to your sorcerers, which speak unto you, saying, ye shall not serve the king of Babylon, for they prophesy a lie unto you, to remove you far from your land, and that I should drive you out, and ye should perish. And there are all kinds of preachers today who are saying, and theologians who are saying, don't listen to all that rebellious talk about leaving your congregation. After all, God has been with us, hasn't he, all these years? Hasn't he blessed us? Don't we have a wonderful saved membership here in our congregation? Listen to us. Oh? Is that where we're to listen? Or are we to listen to the Bible? That's really the issue. That is the big issue the world is facing today. Is it the Bible that's the authority? Or is it the theological community that's the authority? You know, it's so sad today, but my judgment is that it's very, very hard to find amongst the theological, the biblical community, and I'm not talking about wild-eyed denominations, I'm talking about the most conservative denominations, those which historically have always been looked upon as being the very essence of truth, or as close to truth as possible, and they don't understand at all this whole command of God, that God is finished with the local congregations. We have to come out, that there is judgment there, the sword, there is famine, there is pestilence. Look at verse chapter, going back to Jeremiah 14. We read there in verse 13, then said I, Ah, Lord God, Ah, Lord God, behold, before I get into that, I got to back up for just a moment. Look at verse 11. I skipped over that by mistake. Then said the Lord unto me, pray not for this people, for their good. Remember when Josiah finally was killed in battle? Why was he killed in battle when he was only 39 years of age? Incidentally, isn't that an interesting age? What's 39 break down into? I just thought about that. 3 times 13. 3 times 13. 3 is God's purpose. 13 identifies with God's super completeness. And near as we can tell as we study the Bible, when did the Great Tribulation begin? When God was officially finished with the local congregations? Exactly 13,000 years after creation. Isn't that amazing, that relationship? Was that accidental? Coincidental? Well, maybe. I don't think so. But it's just really curious that Josiah was taken out right at that time. God, you know, is everything fits into some kind of a pattern, and we see that pattern so beautifully, so awesomely. It'd be better, because there's nothing beautiful about this terrible thing that is happening to the local congregations. We could just weep for that. But remember, it says there, pray not for this people. That is, when God has established His timeline, it cannot be changed. When Christ came in the fullness of time, as we read in Galatians 4, it meant He came in a certain year, a certain day, a certain time. It could not be changed. When God has now come to the end of the world, and He has given us the number patterns, and we can begin to lay them out and see how it all fits together, if we're on the right track, we know it will not be changed. It's going to fall into place. And it has been falling into place right along as we have been approaching the end. But now the prophets. Verse 13 of Jeremiah 14. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, the prophets say unto them, Ye shall not see the sword, neither shall ye have famine, but I will give you assured peace in this place. And my, you can go into pulpit after pulpit today, to church after church, and here comes a few people in the congregation who had made the terrible mistake of listening to family radio, and so they're beginning to buzz around in the congregation a little bit. Hey, do you know what family radio is teaching? They're teaching that we have to come out of the church. And so there's some people getting a little bit uneasy, and the pastor hears about that. He's going to preach a sermon on that, and he's going to put that to bed right now. No way. Christ will build His church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He doesn't even realize. He doesn't understand that verse at all. That's not talking about the local congregation for a moment. It is talking about the eternal church, which of course continues to build. But insofar as the local congregation, that no local congregation has any security. And so the prophets will say, it shall not come to pass. You are safe and secure. Christ, this church is going to go right up until Judgment Day. Yes, it is. It'll go right up until Judgment Day, but unfortunately, not under the blessing of God, but under the wrath of God. We have come to that time when we have to say goodbye insofar as this program is concerned. It's sad that we have to close on this ominous note that we've been talking about, but that's the way it is. We have to leave that with the Lord. We're just going to remember that, the Lord willing, tomorrow we can continue to develop this and see how it all finally begins to tie together.